This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod. The Vatican Assassin Trilogy and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. We've got chapters 6 and 7 of The Star Seeds of Earth on this episode. Last time around, we had just finished with Alibi Jones coming into mental contact with some kind of being under a mountain in Vermont who said, "I am the Archmage. Open your mind." We're also going to check in with Katie Ramsey, who's an old friend of Alibi's, and who's now trying to make her way as an intergalactic assassin. So it's a couple interesting chapters on the way. Chapters 6 and 7 of The Star Seeds of Earth, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. You know, I was looking at where people are listening now, and thanks to adding a few more international podcast servers, or podcast suppliers, I suppose, we now have people all over the world checking out Glow in the Dark Radio. Of course, a big U.S. contingent, so thank you to my friends in the USA, but also a lot of folks in Ireland, in the UK, some in Canada, France, Germany, Switzerland, China, Netherlands, South Africa, Australia, India, Spain, Czech Republic, United Arab Emirates, and Belgium, just to name a few. Those are the ones that had at least more than one download, so thought that was pretty cool. Thank you for listening, and, you know, welcome back to this episode. There's not a lot of book news to cover this week, so let me just say, if you're into the podcast and you'd like to support it, please go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio and become a member for $2 a month, or $5 or $10 a month if you're so inspired. Or just go to glowinthedarkradio.com and click on the Patreon link for that. I'd also encourage you to check out my 2022 calendars. If you go to mikeluoma.com or glowinthedarkradio.com, you'll see links to the 4 different calendars I've put out this year. One is a look at the beauty of Vermont and the Champlain Valley. Another is a look at ancient America and some of the spots that I went to on a road trip this summer. There's another one that covers stone chambers and stone rows, which in a way relates to this book, as Alibi went through a stone chamber to go down underneath a mountain in Vermont. And there's ancient Vermont, which is stuff that I think I've found, but I haven't been able to fully document yet, so it's all very speculative. So those are the 4 2022 calendars that I've got up for grabs. And again, those links to see the photos that are in each of those calendars, links to their galleries, are right on the top there at glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com. 2 chapters on the way. On this episode, we've got Chapter 6 of The Star Seeds of Earth coming up next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
The Flash Pulp Podcast. 3 to 10 minutes of fiction brought to you thrice weekly. Now it's 3 apocalypses in one.
Yeah!
Suffering from tough, stuck-on humans? Well, 20 hellish hours of suffocation in the all-encompassing web of Carwick the Spider God will get them right out. too many brains lying around? The ravenous mouths surrounding zombie-fighting Ruby will quickly clean those up. Nosy neighbors, infect them with the murder plague, and watch as they dissolve into paranoid maniacs bent on the preemptive assassination of their friends and family. Why stop at one end of the world when you can have all three? You can find them all at flashpulp.com or search for them on iTunes.
Now here's Chapter 6 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. Blasters were such imprecise weapons, but that too would work. Katie, Katerina Ramsey, hadn't been a practicing assassin for long, but she was already creating a mental list of her favorite methods. Guns were low on her list. Of course, she had so many other more exotic means at her disposal. She was beginning to anticipate having to use one of those means on the scum of a client sitting sprawled out in ostentatious luxury before her now. The worm would not stop talking. For far too long now. She sensed ulterior motives. The chat a crude stalling tactic. Seemed he thought he could withhold her payment. The price of her being new in the field. She didn't have a proper reputation yet. It was moments such as these that built proper reputations, she figured. As the man rambled on, Katie ran through her mental list, applying each method in kind to him in her mind's eye. It kept her amused and ready for just such contingencies.
"I imagine it is a dangerous business, being an assassin," the worm said.
He paused for a moment. She was surprised. "Yes," she said, "which is why I charge what I do for my services."
"Pay me," she thought at him, as loud as she could. "Of course," he said.
"And you will be paying up." She verbally cut to the chase. "I grow tired of our conversation."
"Do you?" he said. "How rude."
"No," she said. "An hour of endless small talk with no sign yet of payment for a job obviously well done? That's rude." She felt someone move up behind her chair, before his hands reached around her neck. Before he could squeeze too tightly, the rodé substance, her fluid armor, shot up at him from where she'd been wearing it around her waist, like a thick belt. Two strands of the stuff grabbed him back, encircling each wrist. She and the rodé were one, and they yanked the thug's hands off and away from her neck, holding him at bay as she got up from the chair and turned to face her attacker. The rest of the substance flowed over her body, creating her impervious second skin, so her client couldn't damage her while she took care of his thug. He backed away from her. She clapped her hands and the substance contracted sharply, slicing each of the thug's hands off at the wrist. She stepped back as the thug began to flail, blood spurting in rhythmic pulses from his fresh stumps. "Better take care of that," she said. "Direct pressure." She turned back to her client.
"What are you?"
he asked in horror. "Good at my job," she said. She nodded at the other man, still in shock, staring at his stumps as he tried pushing them together to stop the bleeding. "That was rude as well. Now, pay me." The worm pulled out his wand and punched in a transaction. Katie heard her wand ding.
She dug it out and looked to be sure he'd paid her, then shifted the money out of the public account into her private one. "Thank you," she said. "This could have been so much neater and easier. And I will let it be known you do not follow through on your business arrangements without coercion." She let the Rodeo go full-on atmosphere suit, and it covered her almost entirely in its translucent, brownish-black substance, although she kept her face clear for the moment. This would help her reputation. His, not so much. Or maybe it didn't matter. They did call him the Worm, after all. Maybe she should have considered that more before taking the job. Unfortunately, she didn't have much choice. She wasn't getting a lot of job offers. Yet.
"What is that stuff?"
the Worm asked. "It's me," she said. "What I am, now."
"You aren't human."
"Not anymore," she said. "Not entirely." She let the Rodeo cover her face and felt clean oxygen filtering through. Katie watched the Worm cower with her now enhanced vision. The Rodeo still had its own minds, and she felt it take control of her right arm, raising it so it could shoot a strand of itself across the room to wrap around the Worm's throat like a rubber tentacle. The Worm began to choke and turn red. She thought at the Rodeo. "Stop. We need him alive, to tell others of what we can and will do." The strand released from around his neck and snapped back, absorbing into the hole as it covered her in its protective armor. She turned and left the Worm and his now unconscious, bleeding-out henchman, and walked out of the room. "Well," she thought, "this should help my reputation." As she left the mansion and walked to her ship, parked on the estate grounds outside, the Rodeo substance encompassing her ship gave her a view of herself walking toward it, a featureless ebony assassin. Scary. She liked it. A good look. Chapter 7. Alibi couldn't say how much he spoke, and how much he simply thought with his mind for the Archmage to hear. The conversation was mostly nonverbal. "I figure I got it from my father. He taught me how to control it a little," Alibi said, answering the Archmage's question on where his mental abilities came from. "Don't think my mother had anything to do with reading minds."
"And you've seen him, you said. Though he is long dead."
"Yeah," Alibi confirmed. "In some form or another. Once in a dream, kind of. That's when he taught me the double doors technique, the image I focus on to stop intrusions. I saw him another time, or had some kind of communication with him, triggered by handling an alien artifact called the Wishing Stone. Guess I wished him into my presence or something. Didn't last long. And recently, a Devrisium artifact took me back in time to see him. But he didn't know who I was, I don't think."
"Will you share your memories with me? I wish to know you better. Before."
"Before what?"
"Before I trust you."
"And I should trust you?"
"That is for you to decide."
He decided to trust. Alibi opened his mind further and thought about his recent involuntary time travel visit back to see his father, B.C., a young hitman for the Vatican at the time. Alibi nearly screwed up B.C.'s mission. Then he thought back to his first dream of B.C. years ago, when B.C. gave him the trick of imagining a set of heavy double doors in his mind, showed him how he could close the doors and lock out external forces and other unwanted intrusions from the rest of the world. He'd used that technique a lot. He also remembered seeing his father when Finder asked him to track down the Wishing Stone. Alibi found the artifact in the ruins of a temple-like building on a long-dead planet, his father appearing in ghostly form when Alibi handled the stone, as if Alibi had wished him there. Out of all things they could have discussed, BC talked about his mother, Ruth. His father told Alibi he should forgive her for killing BC, for Alibi's own good.
"Your father seems wise," the Archmage said, as Alibi's reminiscences ended.
"I guess so," Alibi said, "if that was really him, and not my mind telling me what I wanted to hear."
"I do not think you wanted to hear that about your mother," the Archmage said. "It feels like a true thing."
"So," Alibi asked, "did that help you?"
"Yes. A man reveals much of himself when he speaks of his family."
"He knew my dad," Alibi said, nodding over towards Edwards. "Why did you do that to him?"
"I did not do that. He contacted the suspension field. It tends to stun people."
"Not me."
"You have defenses in place. You are double doors. You were shielded."
"That is you in there, isn't it?" Alibi asked. "You're the man behind that field."
"Inside of it, actually," he said. "This suspension field bears me to my time. And I see the further question in your mind. It is not yet my time." "There are many ways to travel into the future, Alibi Jones."
That thought disturbed Alibi.
"You sound like Azamet, one of the ancient enemy."
Unbidden, Alibi found himself thinking back on confrontations with the ruthless time traveler, Azamet. He found a way to propel his bioenergetic matrix, his essence, or soul, ahead through time. That essence had to find a host in the future, so Azamet had possessed many bodies, eventually making fresh hosts through cloning and DNA experimentation. It then turned out Azamet was only one of at least 100 of the ancient enemy moving ahead through time, and Azamet began making many hosts.
"You are still open to me. I see more than you mean me to, and hear your thoughts," the Archmage said. "I know of Azamet, and yes, I too am of the race apparently now referred to as the ancient enemy."
"You are?" Alibi said. "Why should I trust you, then?"
"A few of us had to go along with Azamet's plan while we worked out our own," the Archmage said. "But we didn't have to follow his all the way through. Several of us left the time flow to acquire bodies on the first inhabited system we came across. This one."
"Possessing people," Alibi said. "Nice."
"We had no choice," he said. "And each successive body has been of no use to its owner. We only take over the mentally empty. We don't prey on sentient beings."
"Azamet did," Alibi said. "I stopped him. Well, my friends and I did."
"He was destined to fail," the Archmage said.
"Not giving us any credit," Alibi protested.
"You helped. We undermined them, he and his group, from the start. Played along while we developed the star seeds and turned the servants against us. It was time for it all to end. Our race, the people, had grown thoroughly corrupt. Our hold on the known worlds was obscene. So we ended it."
"Yet here you are," Alibi said. "Alive. Again. Well, kind of. You haven't ended."
"We sent out the star seeds. We'd hoped to find their fruits borne out in time. And so, yes, here we are."
"You keep saying we. There are others? More of you came out of the time stream?"
"There were others. No longer. They passed on after a time. I remain,"
Why?
Their work was done. I have more yet to accomplish.
Your work?
We each helped several generations of your people to thrive and flourish. The stuff of your legends.
Oh, really? Like who?
The one you called Osiris was my friend. His human name lives on. The best among us. And the most powerful, after me.
Not to brag, huh?
Simple truth.
Who are you? Would I know you? What were you called? What did you do?
I was more obscure. You might know me or not. My work continues.
Not? You're in a suspension field.
It will resume in time, no matter. That day will come. This is but a temporary interruption, a stirring into waking dream.
So, why are you awake? Elibi asked.
I am not fully alert, neither asleep nor awake. Still, I see you. You are a bud, only beginning to flower.
A flower? Now I'm a flower.
A figure of speech, as you know. Here. A gift.
What? I don't see anything.
A gift? An unlocking of potential already within, the Archmage said. Your gift will unfold slowly, as you need it, as you work to develop it. Find a teacher of some kind, or teach yourself.
Alibi heard a ringing in his ears, or in his mind, behind and above them. His vision washed out in a sustained, brilliant flash of white light. Then, the light and the sound both faded, and his vision and hearing returned to normal. Alibi was staring into the force field. Did I just hallucinate all that? Maybe I've been entranced like Edwards and didn't know it.
You did not hallucinate, the Archmage reassured him, the voice in his mind.
I felt something happen, Alibi said.
Good, the Archmage said inside Alibi's head. No immediate change will occur. You will experience the unfolding of your greater gift over time.
Thank you, Alibi said. I think.
Well, you came and found me and woke me up. I felt I owed you something.
Alibi started to smile, but stopped. Wait, something good or something bad?
That remains to be seen, on both of our accounts, does it not?
I didn't mean to wake you up, Alibi said. I didn't know we'd find you here.
No? I'm mistaken, then. Perhaps I should withdraw my gift, eh?
It's your gift.
No, truly, it's now your gift, Alibi Jones. There is no taking this gift back.
I didn't ask for it, Alibi pointed out.
True. So then, why are you here, if you're not looking for me?
I'm searching for the starseed that landed here on Earth and made us into your descendants. My scanner readings led me here, but it looks like you were what I thought was the starseed.
Ah, well, one was here, but it was used up long ago, I'm sorry. Damn. But this one was not the starseed that started you human beings.
No?
I believe this one may have started those you call Neanderthals? Denisovans? Hard to be sure. You're looking for the other one. Osiris's starseed. He found that one. He didn't use his, at least not to any large degree. It had done enough already, turning you Homo sapiens into the human race. After he passed, it wasn't properly accounted for. There were later rumors it was found, but those were never substantiated.
This one's used up, but there's another one, Alibi said. Another starseed? Here on Earth.
Perhaps, if the other one is still here.
Earth was hit by two of them. You didn't know. Not until now. Thank you.
You're welcome, I think, the Archmage said. I grow weary. I must sleep again, Alibi Jones. Good luck with your quest.
My quest? I'm searching, but I don't think it's a quest.
Everyone is looking for something. As a matter of fact, I'm sensing many people looking for you right now. Above us, up on the surface.
The Solar Alliance?
Oh, man!
The proximity alert on Alibi's wand began howling.
That was Chapter 7 of The Starseeds of Earth, and we heard Chapter 6 as well, on Glow in the Dark Radio. Proximity alert, not a good sign. Sounds like the Solar Alliance has tracked Alibi down. And he's not on Earth, like, with their permission. And he's not that well liked in the Solar Alliance anymore, so this could be a situation.
We'll pick things up there in our next episode, with Chapter 8 of The Starseeds of Earth coming up next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
A reminder, if you're enjoying what you're into and you want to help support it, you can do so for $2, $5, or $10 a month by becoming a patron at patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. Or just go to glowinthedarkradio.com and look for the links to Patreon. And if you go to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com, you'll see the links there for my four calendars for 2022. There's an Ancient America one. There's an Ancient Stone Mysteries of New England one with stone chambers and stone rows. There's a Striking Beauty of Vermont and the Champlain Valley one that's just beautiful shots around this area. And there's one on the ancient history of Vermont. Some things I've found in my travels and explorations that I think merit further investigation. So those are four calendars I have up for grabs for 2022. And they're featured at the top right now of glowinthedarkradio.com. That's all for this episode. Thanks again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.
Glow in the Dark Radio.
This podcast presentation is copyright 2021 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Accompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.